3 hours down, one to go here on Thursday afternoon. Corey Curtis with Kayla Anderson, the News 2 takeover of the Darren and Donick show. Both of those fine gentlemen taking some time away. Willie taking in his Vanderbilt Commodores, and Darren's just up to no good, is my understanding. absolutely.
Yep.
Well, tonight's the NBA draft. Tomorrow night is the NHL draft. So two exciting nights in a row for us. And I think it's going to be an exciting day for the Nashville Predators. We're going to bring on Robbie Stanley now from NHL.com. Robbie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Corey, Kayla, how are y'all?
Hi, friend.
All right. Now, we know it was a disappointing end to the season for the Nashville Predators. I do not think it sat well with David Poile at all. I am saying we see two nuclear detonations tomorrow out of David Poile.
Wow, two of them.
Two of them.
Okay. I like it. I agree with you to a certain extent. I do think something is going to happen tomorrow at the NHL draft outside of the Predators selecting 24th overall in the first round. I think when you get all these general managers and team front office associates on the floor together, all at the same place, all at the same location, things tend to happen. I mean, you think back to a few years ago when the Predators acquired PK Subban. It didn't happen specifically on draft day, but the conversation that led to Shea Weber and PK Subban being swapped for each other happened on draft day. So certainly I think there's a very good chance you're going to see a lot of moving around tomorrow. You just heard rumor after rumor out there, not only with the Predators, but from a lot of teams around the league. Toronto Maple Leafs, the Philadelphia Flyers have been making a bunch of moves, obviously the San Jose Sharks. So I would not be surprised whatsoever if tomorrow the Predators and David Poile strike a deal at the NHL draft, and I would not be surprised if it involves one of their four defensemen.
And the one everybody keeps talking about is PK Subban, and simply because he makes the most money. And if they want to clear up cap space to bring in a Matt Duchene, he's the piece that's probably going to have to go. Now, having said that, how much trade market is there for PK at his current salary situation, which is what, $9, $10 million?
Yeah, $9 million per year. And honestly, I think there's a lot of interest. I think
okay.
There would be a lot of interest because I say that because you take a look at the market now of what defensemen, especially elite defensemen like PK Subban, are getting. I mean, Erik Karlsson's making $12.5 million. Drew Doughty's making a bunch of money. Roman Josi, when he signs his new deal, is going to make a bunch of money. So you've got all these different things happening, and you've got to take into account also there are teams around the league that were planning on making a run at Erik Karlsson. There were teams around the league that were planning on making a run at Jacob Trouba out of Winnipeg before he was traded to the New York Rangers. Well, now that's not an option anymore. So now I think that helps drive up the price for a PK Subban and David Poile, should David Poile decide to go that route and decide to trade PK Subban. So while on the same day that Karlsson signed that contract, I think David Poile was kind of like, oh boy, when he was thinking about what that was going to mean for Roman Josi and his contract. I also think once that happened, and once Trouba was dealt later the same day, I think that made the defenseman around the league more of a premium, and I think in turn that's going to drive up the price for a PK Subban or a Ryan Ellis or whoever it may be that David Poile would potentially want to trade.
I would expect it to be one of the right-handers because of Dante Fabbro coming up, and as I said, was PK because of money. Now, having said that, though, Robbie, if the end game is trading away a PK to bring in Matt Duchene, can't you use the trade then to restock your developmental system? You know, can't you load up on draft picks? You don't have to go player for player, even with a superstar like PK Subban?
Yeah, you don't have to. I think PK Subban can fetch a pretty big return if you decide to go the player for player route. And maybe if you do go the player for player route, you don't need Matt Duchene at that point. That would obviously depend on who you're making a trade with and who's available. And obviously, I don't think we all know the answer to all of that right now. But certainly, if the motivation for trading PK Subban is simply to just clear money and make sure you have enough room from a salary cap perspective, you could get a first-round pick. You could get a very top-level prospect and then kind of work from there and then have all that room to go out and try and sign Matt Duchene that way. Or maybe you strike a deal with another GM on the floor for PK Subban, and it is a one-for-one player deal. I don't think any of us anticipate that's going to be the case, but would not be shocked whatsoever. So I think PK Subban, obviously, around the league, when you talk to other guys and other analysts around the league, he's probably the most likely one to go because he makes the most money. But I wouldn't be surprised with anything with David Poile. I mean, I never thought they would trade Shea Weber in a million years, and they did. So nothing he does anymore really surprises me.
Well, there's no denying the fact that Nashville has this ongoing love affair with Matt Duchene. And, you know, I think that's just been the talk for a while now. He obviously played with the Blue Jackets and showed a lot in the postseason, helped them a lot in the playoffs. And there's continued talk of bringing him here. What makes him such a game changer, and how and why would he fit in with this team?
Well, I think he's a highly skilled forward. Obviously, if you take a look at him, he's got a lot of speed, a lot of playmaking ability. And the Predators are in a situation right now, especially with the way that playoff series went against the Dallas Stars,
mm-hmm.
where just offensively they weren't good enough.
Yep.
I mean, and you could blame that on the systems. You can blame that on certain players just not showing up. I personally blame it on a combination of a lot of things. But the bottom line is that you can't have that happen again next year and expect things to remain the same, or expect everybody to keep their job. It's just not going to happen. So I think Matt Duchene checks a lot of boxes in terms of there seems to be mutual interest. It seems like if you believe some of the reports, the Predators have been chasing after him for about 2 years in a trade,
right,
and have just never been able to put the right pieces together to get it done. And I know for a fact there is interest from Matt Duchene's part on Nashville. I've talked to him about it a couple of years ago off the record, just about playing here and the city in general, what he might think about that. And he said he loves it. It's his favorite city to go to on the road. I mean, he talked for 5 minutes straight about Nashville. So if you put the dots together just from all the reports out there, it seems like there is mutual interest. The problem and the thing I would be concerned about if I were the Predators, if you take a look at some of these other contracts around the league, Jeff Skinner making $9 million per year, Kevin Hayes, who I think is on a lower tier than Matt Duchene is, just got paid $7.14 million per year. That means you're probably looking at a $9.5 million minimum cap hit,
right,
per year for Matt Duchene. And I think for the Predators, you seriously have to sit down and consider, okay, is he worth that? Because he had a great year last year. He had 70 points. He's reached 70 points twice. But when he's not at that 70 point plateau, he's usually right around 57, 58, 59 points per year. And can you really justify giving somebody like that $9.5 million? Maybe you can. Maybe that's the new going rate. I'm not sure. But that's something the Predators are going to have to figure out if they decide to go that route.
Speaking of justifying salary, let's talk about Kyle Turris. Is there a market for Kyle Turris?
If there is, I don't think it's a huge one. I think you're going to have to sell extremely low if you do decide to trade Kyle Turris. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about his run that he went on at the World Championships,
yeah,
and how well he played there. I certainly think that that's good news for him and his confidence. But quite honestly, I don't put a ton of stock into the World Championships in terms of kind of evaluating what an NHL trade value might be. I mean, when you're lighting up Great Britain, it just doesn't really do it for me. So I've got to see it at the NHL level again before I believe that Kyle Turris is back to where he needs to be from a mental standpoint and from a physical standpoint. But certainly, I mean, if you listen to David Poile, he came on Darren and Donick the other day and talked about how he feels like Kyle Turris is in a much better place mentally. Obviously, that can't do anything but help him if the Predators decide to bring him back next year, if there's not a good enough trade return in order to ship him off, in order to bring Matt Duchene in. I think the Predators are fully prepared to bring him back next year. And it may be out of necessity. I mean, you may just not get an offer that's good enough to justify moving on from Kyle Turris. Or maybe you believe that something doesn't work out in free agency and you don't quite land Matt Duchene or whoever it is that you want to land. And then you've got Kyle Turris there and you're just hoping he can have a bounce back season. But there's no question. If Kyle Turris starts next season off and it looks the same as what we saw last season, that's going to be a huge, huge problem, and it's going to be very difficult for the Predators to overcome that.
Yeah, and Robbie, I agree with you because I listened to that interview with Poile, and he was really set on, he talked to Kyle, and he feels that he is mentally in a stronger place, because we all saw Kyle last year, and even at the end of the year talking to him, we saw the frustration, and it was like he couldn't get out of his own head. And I think sometimes, yeah, that can play so much into a season. So maybe it was he just needed a little bit of a fresh restart. But like you said, we're going to have to wait and see. But I don't feel like they're going to make that move.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they did, and not necessarily even because they don't want to make the move. Like I said before, I just think the value you would get in return is not going to be anywhere near as high
yeah.
as it would have been, obviously, a year ago. So at that point, is it really worth doing it? And the other thing that maybe they're interested to see is, you know, Poyle said the other day also that Dan Lambert is going to take over all of the offensive systems. So I'm interested to see not only on the power play, but 5-on-5, how much different the Predators' attack and their style of play looks like. And maybe that suits whatever adjustments that, Lambert decides to, make. Maybe that suits Kyle Turris and his style of play more than what we saw a year ago.
He is Robbie Stanley from NHL.com. I'm Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson. We're talking about the Nashville Predators on the eve of the NHL draft. You know, Robbie, we're talking about a lot of change here. We're talking about, you know, possibly making a couple of big deals. We're talking about changing people on the coaching staff. How much of this offseason is about making the players a little bit uncomfortable? Maybe they got too comfortable last year because they certainly didn't play with the same edge.
I think that's the perfect way to describe it. I really is. I mean, I think change is necessary for this group. I do think there are one or two, maybe three changes that need to take place. But I think we all still agree that on paper and from a talent perspective, this team is still good enough to win.
Certainly.
And last year, for whatever reason, they just were never able to put it all together. I think some of that's on the coaching staff. I think some of that's on the leadership group. And I think some of it is guys just didn't play as well as the year they did before when they had their career year. So, you know, it takes a lot of things to go right to win in this league. I think the Predators found that out a couple of years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup final. And I do think maybe sometimes you just need to make people uncomfortable, and maybe you have to make one or two trades in order to do that, in order to snap the attention of some of these guys and get them moving in the direction that you want to move. And I think also, I mean, sometimes you need to make the coaching staff uncomfortable as well. And I think bringing somebody else in to do a job on the power play or take over the systems 5-on-5, I think that whether they want to admit it or not, that makes everybody on that coaching staff take a look in the mirror and try to analyze, well, okay, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to adjust in order to get better results? So I think David Poyle, that's going to be his strategy this offseason. He's not going to make changes just for the sake of making changes, but I do think part of the reason he feels like things need to be shaken up is maybe things have gotten too stale in there, and maybe they've gotten too comfortable with their past successes the last couple of years, and now they're trying to get to that place where they have what it takes to finish the job and ultimately win their first Stanley Cup.
Well, and we all saw the frustration towards the end of the season in the playoffs when Craig Smith kind of, in a way, called out the non-changing in coaching and with the power play and everything. And so I think even for the players, just to have something to look forward to in this offseason, bringing in a guy like Lambert, that can be a little bit of a boost too, knowing that there is going to be some change.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, a lot of times it's a good and bad thing. I mean, you take a look and you come back and it's the same coaching staff every year. And it's good because you get into training camp and you know what you're going to do. You don't really have to learn the systems all over again. And you can kind of just get right into it. But I think also there becomes, like Corey said, a comfortability with that, whether you want it, whether it's conscious or not. I think sometimes that happens. And when you can bring other people in with new ideas, taking different looks at how to attack things, how to attack the power play, how to attack the breakout coming out from your own end and getting through the neutral zone more cleanly than they were able to do last year, I think all of these things can have a positive effect. So I'm really interested to see what Lambert brings to the table. And also I'm interested to see not only Lambert, how is LaViolette going to adjust? How is Dan Mews going to adjust?
Yeah.
How is Kevin McCarthy going to adjust? Because I think if those guys don't adjust, it's going to be really difficult to overhaul what this team looks like and the way they attack the game. And I think that's the biggest thing that needs to be changed, is even more so than personnel, is the way they attack the game. And I'm interested to see what that looks like come September.
Hey, Robbie, we're going long here. Can I get you to hang in between the break? Because there's two other things I want to ask you about.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, we'll keep Robbie Stanley on the line and have more with him when we return after the break. You're listening to Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oi. Is that your best Canadian? Oi.
That's A.
Oi.
A.
All right. Corey Curtis, Gayla Anderson in for Darren and Donick on
Thursday.
Getting
you ready for Vancouver, pretty much.
Oh, don't you know?
Don't you know?
Oh, don't you know? Hey, Robbie Stanley from NHL.com was nice enough to stick around between the breaks, so we bring back Robbie right now. We've been talking Nashville Predators on the eve of the NHL draft. We talked about David Poehl making trades at the draft, but we didn't actually talk about the draft. Robbie, I believe the Preds, and I could be wrong here, pick 24th, and what do you expect them to do?
Yeah, that is correct. They picked 24th, and to be honest with you, if you take a look at the mock drafts, I think every mock draft I've looked at has a different name, which is really funny to me. Mm-hmm. But usually they all end up with forwards for the most part, so it could be anybody from Bobby Brink to Samuel Poland, Braden Tracy, all these different options that they have. I think we all take a look at the Predators and their farm system right now. And you take a look down in Milwaukee, you've got Elli Tolvanen, who's their top prospect. And at the NHL level on defense, you've got Dante Favreau. And really much past that, there's not a whole lot there. So I think the Predators are in a position personally that whatever pick and whatever selection is there that's the best player available for them to take at 24th, I think that's the way they have to go. And that's not always the case. I mean, sometimes you head into a draft knowing full well that you're going to take a forward wherever your pick is. You know full well you're going to take a defenseman, whatever the case may be. I think the Predators and their system right now is at a place that needs to be restocked. And I think one way you do that is you just take a look at where you're at, 24th overall. Maybe somebody who's ranked in the top 15 of your board slides down to you to 24, and you're able to take them there. And I think regardless of what the position is, you have to do that. So I would not be surprised in any direction the Predators go 24th overall in the first round. I think they just need to take the best player available to them on their board and then start to rebuild the cupboard that way.
Do you think they pick more than once in the first round?
If they do, I think they will have traded somebody, probably somebody named P.K. Subban.
That's my point.
So I would not be surprised if that happens. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee that that's going to happen, obviously, but I would not be surprised whatsoever if that does happen.
You know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on NHL draft prospects. I just, you know, I don't watch a lot of junior hockey. I'm going to put it out there and be honest with you. But David Poehl has been excellent at allowing the best player to drop to him. And the one player I heard discussed, I think his name is Suzuki.
Yeah.
And that he would be a steal if he fell to them.
Yeah, he would be. And look, the NHL draft is so much different than these other sports, with maybe the exception of baseball, in that, you know, you draft this guy, and unless you're a top 2, 3, 4 pick, for the most part, you're not going to know if you've really hit on a guy for 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Yep.
So that's the difficult part when you're drafting kids this young, when they're 17 and 18 years old. I mean, you don't even know if they're fully grown yet or not. I mean, it's really hard.
Remember Ryan Ellis when he got here?
Yeah.
We just saw a video of him the other day. He's just this little chub.
He looks like a child.
Doesn't he?
So, I mean, it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen. Suzuki is a guy who's got a lot of top-end skill. He's a little bit undersized, but I think if he does slide down to the Predators at that point, he's a guy with enough skill. I think the Predators are in a position where if you're going to take an offensive guy, if you're going to take a forward, I think it's easy sometimes to take kind of that safe pick that you know is going to be, you know, he's going to be a middle six NHL guy, maybe doesn't have a high ceiling, but you know what you're going to get out of like a Colton Sissons guy comes to mind, for example.
Yeah.
Probably never going to be a top six guy, but you know what you have in him. I think the Predators are in a position with their farm system right now where if you've got a guy with a lot of top-end potential, but maybe there's a little risk there involved, I think the Predators are in a position where maybe you take that guy and you hope he pans out, and then all of a sudden you've got two top prospects in Tolvanen and whoever the other prospect would be in order to round out your farm system from there.
Okay, gut feeling, Robbie. Gut feeling here, because you've been with this team. You know this team inside and out. Does Matt Duchene get here?
I think he does.
Okay.
And I think the Predators are going to trade a defenseman, if not tomorrow, here in the coming days, in order to make sure they've got enough room. But I do think Matt Duchene ends up here.
Look at that.
Yeah, I do too.
You heard it there.
I think absolutely that happens. The last thing I want to ask you about is the mayor, Mayor Briley, has put out a statement on the new agreement between Metro and the Preds, which I believe was finalized today.
Done deal.
It says, today's final decision by the Metro Sports Authority is great news for Nashville, the Predators, and the taxpayers. These new agreements relieve the city and taxpayers of our financial burden at Bridgestone Arena, which I believe, was $3.5 million a year, which opened in 1996 and will keep the Preds there for at least the next 30 years. The achievement would not have been possible without the Preds being such a committed partner to Nashville. The special relationship between our city and the Predators only got stronger today, and I'm proud to be a part of it. It is a great deal for the city to not have to pay the $3.5 million a year. But I will contend this. There is a reason the Predators have agreed to this new agreement. They see dollar signs. Right, Robbie?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. So, I mean, good on the Predators. I mean, obviously, if you're a professional sports franchise, you want to make money, and there's no question. I think they do see dollar signs. You're going to have a little bit more control over what you can do with it now, obviously. So, I think we all can agree that that building is in pretty much the perfect location downtown to have a sports and entertainment building. There's no sense in trying to figure out, okay, when do we need a new building? I think Sean Henry said it best a few years back. There's no reason to build a new building. Just keep putting money into this one. It's not like you're going to have it in a better location. So I think that's very good news for the city of Nashville that the Predators and Bridgestone Arena are going to be there for a long, long time.
And finally, I want to ask you, was it Vancouver got the 2020 draft?
Vancouver?
Yes.
Vancouver's this one.
Montreal
got the next one. Okay. Is Nashville looking at getting back into the draft game in the NHL anytime soon?
Oh, I think for sure they are. And I think if you think back to not only the 2003 NHL draft, which, by the way, was probably the best draft I've ever seen in the NHL. There were so many good players there. I think everybody from the NHL on down was really pleased with how it was run back in Nashville in 2003, and just think about that for a second. Think about how many things Nashville has now that it didn't have then 2003. So they would knock the draft out of the park. There's no question about it. I think the most recent example, obviously, is the Stanley Cup Final in 2017, but even the All-Star Game the year before that, I know for a fact the NHL was extremely happy with how the All-Star Game went. So I would not be surprised at all if here in the next 5 years, Nashville is back in the rotation for a draft.
Was that Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, and Kevin Klein?
It was.
Dang.
It was.
It was a good draft.
Yeah.
Sure was.
That was a good draft. Robbie, we really appreciate the extended time.
Thanks, Robbie.
To talk about, so thank you very much.
Yeah, anytime. Enjoy talking to you.
All right. Congratulations, by the way, on your personal news from the last few months.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Robbie. Did you shave the beard?
It's back.
All right.
The playoff beard is back. All right. Thanks again, Robbie Stanley. He's got a busy day tomorrow with NHL.com. Robbie, a guy who's always worked really hard on that Predators beat. And obviously, like we said, we had a lot of ground to cover. And why? Because we think tomorrow is going to be an explosive
day. And he said it. I mean, even if it doesn't happen, maybe tomorrow it's going to happen shortly after.
The wheels are in motion.
They're spinning.
I think, you know, there's going to be at least one blockbuster trade, one blockbuster addition, and I would not be surprised to see the Predators picking more than once in round one as they look to restock the shelves in the minor leagues. We're going to talk a little bit more Predators, NBA. Look, we're going to talk about whatever the heck you want. Coming up next. We got 30 minutes left in this show.
We need
to take this car off the rails.
Let's do
it. And see where it heads. This is Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson sitting in for Darren and Donick on a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. One 1:33 Thursday afternoon, Corey Curtis.
You sounded like Harry Carey.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey!
There you go.
We all know the moon isn't made of green cheese, but if it was, would you eat it? I would.
He does this in the sports office
a lot. NBA draft tonight, NHL draft tomorrow night. Jerry has called in at 615-737-1025 and wants to talk about them both. Jerry, what you got?
As far as both drafts, what team do you think is going to make the biggest impact or the steal of the draft?
In the NBA?
NBA and the NHL.
Okay. Well, listen, I think the New Orleans Pelicans are the team to watch tonight because of that fourth pick and what they want to do with it. And I think they're the big domino. Okay, so I think that pick is going to set a lot of different wheels in motion because of what's viewed as the three elite point guards and who wants to get in on those. So I think New Orleans has set itself up for a second major score. That would be what I would look for tonight. And for tomorrow, I'm looking for the Nashville Predators because I think they're going to get picks, and I think they're going to be picking more than once in round one.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for the NBA draft, I think everybody is definitely looking at the Pelicans to do. And I've even heard maybe even like trading up to get number two pick too.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, this is the type of stuff I'm hearing from this. I think this Pelicans team is so confident now in the moves that they've made and knowing that they're going to get Zion, mm-hmm. that they're just going to go all out and be like, we're just going to reformat this whole entire team.
Well, they sold 2,500 season tickets, so.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, so that's unbelievable. So, yeah, so that's exciting. But then, like, you know, another team that's armed to do something, Jerry, tonight is the Atlanta Hawks. They pick 8th and 10th overall, so they could add two top 10 talents, and somebody good always slides.
And they need help.
Always happens. And they need help putting people in the building. Or they could combine those picks and move up. They tried to move up to 3, but were rebuffed by the New York Knicks. They could still try to move up to 4 or 5 and get one of those guards, Coby White or Darius Garland. So that remains to be seen. But that's the best we got for you there, Jerry.
Do you see two of the favorites going being traded, Ellis and PK?
I only see one of them.
Yeah, PK.
We both think it's going to be PK, but you never know. Maybe it is a Ryan Ellis. Whatever it is, I think it's a right-hander because they've got Dante Fabbroe coming up, and he is a right-hander as well. And also, I think, you know, Ellis and PK both have big-dollar deals, and Ellis is relatively new.
Newer.
Is newer. But I also think that if you're going to deal PK, now is the time because as he gets older, his trade value will only diminish.
You can get more out of him now in terms of a deal.
And also, let's face it, their defense wasn't great last year. So maybe those guys, as I've said, need to get a little bit uncomfortable. So I would think one of the two of them is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. NBA and NHL draft. I love the draft. I love the NFL draft. I mean, if every day was the NFL draft, I'd be a happy guy.
I feel like a kid again.
Yeah.
Just in a candy shop, just watching.
Yeah.
You know, and not knowing what's going to exactly happen in every spot.
But again, like with the NBA tonight, it comes down to knowing the players. We have 6 players that we have an interest in, and I think that amplifies it so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Garland, Jordan Bone, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Dylan Windler, and Garrison Matthews. It's a lot of guys.
Yeah, and Robbie brought up a good point. Going back to the NHL draft, it is so different, and it is more like the MLB draft where you are developing these players longer, mm-hmm. so you don't see the effects right away. So I think for the draft purposes, it's a little bit more interesting to watch, like the NBA draft. But the Preds this year, because they're going to probably make a splash, that's who we should be looking out for.
Yeah,
and there'll be some headlines surrounding them.
David Poile is not getting any younger, and he is not afraid to make moves.
Yeah.
And look, you know, he believes in Peter Laviolette. He's got every right to believe in Peter Laviolette. Mm-hmm. But I know no one was happy with what happened last year. That team didn't make it out of round one is inexcusable.
Yeah.
And didn't look close to getting out of round one. They were lucky to win 2 games.
Absolutely.
If Pekka hadn't spun on his head, they would have won 1 game in that series. They were outplayed 5 of 6 games. That's terrible.
We all saw that. And I think David, we've looked at David, and he is one of the most respected general managers in the game in terms of what he's done and what his resume shows. And so I think you just need to put trust in him that he's going to do the right thing because that's his resume shows that he's been successful.
Well, I'm excited to see all of what goes down.
Me too.
Because like I said, I think it's going to be a big, big day. Now, the Nashville Predators Foundation will host their 7th annual Craft Beer Festival presented by Allegiant on Saturday, June 22nd. The festival features craft beers or craft brews, food, games, and entertainment. Attendees receive a souvenir glass and unlimited tastings from more than 70 breweries. 70.
Wow.
Participants must be age 21 or older, obviously, and present a valid photo ID with ticket for entry. To purchase tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. NBA, NHL draft coming up tonight. Last night was the NHL's award show.
Certainly was.
Barry Trotz won Jack Adams, right?
He did.
I kind of thought the guy from St. Louis might have won it after winning the Cup, but that's
But really what he did, he came to, I mean, he got to a new team, did what he did with that team. I mean, there's no denying he.
No, but Barry turned an Islanders team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, Barry did an amazing job this year.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened. You know, the Caps couldn't repeat without him, and he took the Islanders to a level no one saw coming.
Players love him.
Yeah. Well, they buy in.
Yeah.
They buy in.
It was a tearjerker of a show, too. There were a lot of moments last night that I do commend the NHL and its players for the things they do in the community. You saw a lot of that last night.
It was really emotional when Wayne Simmons accepted the Mark Messier Award.
Well,
for
yes.
Leadership.
He was not.
Oh, wait, he wasn't there.
Corey called out Wayne. No, I mean, congratulations to Wayne Simmons.
Absolutely.
I got, you know, both of us got to know him a little bit last year. He wasn't here that long. He didn't play that much here.
17 games.
Right. But I will say this about him in the brief time that I did interview him and talk with him. He is a stand-up guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's a team guy. And he clearly...
He's a community guy.
He won the Mark Messier NHL Leadership Award last night. Most of that, I would say, was for the work done in Philadelphia.
99.9% of it. Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, he did...
Yeah.
Play here last year.
Yeah,
so.
He wore the Predators uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. They traded, and that's part of the reason they traded for him.
Right.
You know, because he could be a net presence, but he was also a leader. They thought he would fit in the room and all that. And yeah, I think he scored one goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it just.
He was hurt. He got hurt.
But like everything with the Preds last year, none of it just.
Didn't pan out.
Just seemed to click. Like in years past, you're like, man, every move David Poile makes just is gold. And last year, for whatever reason, it just.
Yeah, and that happens.
Didn't click. And so that just didn't happen. Although the trade for Brian Boyle got some pretty good results.
That worked a lot better.
And he's under contract, I think, for next year as well.
Even after getting his appendix taken out. He was, back in a week?
Mm-hmm.
Which just goes to show how tough these guys are. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't question that.
Alex Trebek was on the show last
night.
Oh,
man. Talk about a heartfelt moment right there.
Yep.
Canadian.
Absolutely.
And got up there and what is the award?
The Hart Trophy.
He did give out the Hart Trophy. Mm-hmm. So that was good to see Alex, and looks like he's doing well as well.
I did not see who won the Vezina.
Well, that was Vasilevsky.
Okay.
Right?
From Tampa?
Yeah, that was Vasilevsky.
Okay, I did not see that portion.
Yep.
Yeah, and he had a great year.
He did.
Did you hear, I think I told you, what Keenan Reynolds, or not Reynolds, Keenan Thompson. What he said about the Lightning?
Yeah.
He congratulated them on setting the record for wins in the regular season and then tying the record for fewest wins in the postseason. At zero.
You had to take a stab. I mean, come on.
They had the camera on the Lightning contingency.
Dude,
they did not look happy.
It's so funny, though, because you know who swept them. The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Your Blue Jackets.
Which I covered for 3 years.
You know what the craziest part of that series was?
Uh-huh.
Is they were down 3-0 in the opener.
I know.
And you were like, oh my gosh, they're just going to get blown right out of this series. It's going to be a sweep. Well, it was a sweep.
Yep.
But they
did it the other
they
way.
They lost that game and never recovered.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder about that team.
Yeah.
Because they were awesome during the year.
I don't know, but sometimes you get too comfortable.
Maybe. They certainly couldn't flip the switch.
Nope.
All right. Kayla, any predictions for tonight?
For the NBA draft?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I think there's going to be a trade early. So,
okay. Top five.
Yeah. So okay. I'm going to go with what we've been talking about
mm-hmm.
with the Pelicans. Yeah. Maybe grabbing Garland.
And trading him. Okay. To my Chicago Bulls?
Maybe not that.
Okay. All right. We got 15 minutes left in the show. It is going to be absolute chaos. No, it's not. But it's going to be pretty darn spectacular.
We need more coffee, guys.
Yeah, this is Corey Curtis, Kayla Anderson, the News 2 Takeover.
Get us some coffee.
You're listening to Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is like the old school.
This is one of my three favorite songs of all time.
You know what I think of, though.
So I played two of your top three, then. I had to.
Where's my jams?
I'm sorry. Tomorrow will be yours.
Okay.
Anderson Friday playlist.
They're two of my top five for sure.
No, I like them though.
Yeah. You nailed it.
Hey, that's what
pretty
I
good.
Do here.
Pretty good.
Kayla Anderson, Corey Curtis, the last 12 minutes of the Darren and Donick Show. Coming up next, Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese. What was the name of the show? Jerry and the Coach? Gerald and the Coach.
I remember when that, oh God, was that caller?
That was such a memorable moment. That was on the morning show. And I love how they said, what did you call it? They're like, no, that's perfect.
They're like, keep it.
Yeah, that's perfect. Now, Jared and Floyd are next. I'm sure
love
they've got
listening to them.
All sorts of spectacular stuff where I'm going to have to text Jared and say, what the heck are you talking about? they are coming up next. Marquise, behind the glass here, you're Alonzo Ball guy.
I wouldn't say I'm Alonzo Ball guy. I got to defend young players sometimes.
Look, his dad was a terrible basketball player in college.
And a football player.
Okay, I don't know what kind of football player he was, but he was a terrible basketball player. You know, he averaged 1 point a game. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So in his dream is for his kids to all play in the NBA and take over the NBA and market their own shoes and all this stuff. And for some reason, his child, Lonzo, who has made it to the NBA, cannot shoot. I mean, it seems to me you put a ball in his hands from the time he left your wife's womb that at some point there should have been some shooting drills in there and he would be able to shoot the basketball. I don't like it when you don't have to guard guys, okay? I mean, I wouldn't pick up Lonzo till he was 20 feet from the hoop.
Yeah.
There's no reason to. And so, you know, that's my game-wise beef with Lonzo Ball. And then there's also the distraction of his father and his family in the circus that brings. And I just think there's so many other players better that you could have than him. Then why waste your time with
him? Okay, Corey, so I'll ask you this then. What do you think about the 76ers team? What do you think about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons can't shoot. And the fact that he didn't learn to shoot is an atrocity.
Would you still take him on your team, though?
Would I still take Ben Simmons? If there were other guys available who could shoot, I would probably take them. And listen, both these guys have been in the league how many years now?
Well, Alonzo's been in two. This is two. Second. And this was the second year. One in this third.
And Simmons missed 1 year.
Yes.
And then has he played 1 or 2 years?
He's played 2 years now.
Okay. Dude, learn to shoot. You know, when Michael Jordan came into the NBA, he did not have a perimeter game. Guess what?
He developed a perimeter game.
Did Kawhi Leonard develop a perimeter game? Did he learn to shoot from the outside? I believe he did.
Yes, he did.
So these players that are committed to greatness learn to shoot. And I think it's a massive disappointment that neither of these guys have learned to shoot the basketball.
But you spoke of distraction in LeVar. How much does that play into it? Because your dad is barking down your throat and barking down every team that you place for throat. How can this kid even be himself, Corey?
Well, there's an easy solution. Dad, go away. Go away.
Look, I understand you don't like the dad, but you can't blame the child for that. Because
tell him to go away.
How can you tell your dad to go away?
Because you're a grown man.
If his dad will look, but who's booking him on these shows? It's not Lonzo. Lonzo's not going to call ESPN like, hey, ESPN, by the way, can you not bring my dad on TV today?
And that brings a whole nother level to it. As a father, I would never, never want to steal my child's thunder. And that's all that guy does.
No, I agree with that.
Uses his kids to elevate his posture as a celebrity trying to hawk shoes that he can't hawk.
I think Lonzo needs to get out there for himself, be a grown man, and say, I'm not my dad.
Yeah.
My dad is not a part of me. I'm going to focus on myself, do my own thing.
I love
better
my dad.
My own game.
But he's not going to speak for me anymore. I'm going to speak
for
myself.
But he's got to do something.
He does. He's got to learn to shoot, too. He's got to learn to shoot.
And be healthy and play more games.
There's a ton of potential in Lonzo.
This is my bottom line. You have a chance to upgrade. Correct?
Yes, you do.
Okay. That's it. You got a chance to upgrade. And so if I have a chance to upgrade, I take it. If you're comfortable with Lonzo and Holiday, then that's fine. If you're comfortable with that, if you're comfortable with that, if you don't think you need to elevate your talent level, but you've got a chance to elevate your talent level, and that's just what I'm all about, at the most important position in the game today.
I think from Alvin Gentry's standpoint, and I think he's looking at it as what Lonzo can bring. So Drew Holiday, obviously, he's a premier passer. So is Lonzo. Also, both guys can be a defensive backcourt. Lonzo's a good defender. Despite him not being able to shoot, I will give him credit as a defender. He's a good on-the-ball defender, and you add him with a guy who just made the defensive all-second team and Drew Holiday. So you're adding a defensive backcourt. I think as far as Alvin Gentry's thinking is, I can develop the rest. He's a good passer. He can rebound. He can play defense. He may can't shoot, but good playmaker all around. Good defender. I can develop the rest of his tactics.
And really, he hasn't had the reps, because going back on that, he's played less than 100 games in two seasons, so he hasn't really had the reps to even get in a groove of something where he's trying to get healthy and be able to do that.
If you put Lonzo Ball in the draft right now, is he a top 10 pick? This draft.
Right now?
Right now. 3 years into his NBA career. I don't think he goes.
Are we talking the Lonzo that we've seen?
Healthy?
Yeah.
The healthy Lonzo, or
sure,
are we talking?
Sure.
If we're talking healthy Lonzo, I'd probably take Darius Garland over him.
Yeah.
And Kobe White.
But no, not Kobe White. I'll definitely take Lonzo over Kobe.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
His playmaking ability is very underrated. And also his defense is two of the most underrated things of his game. And I think as someone who likes building his team off of defense and playmaking, I'd definitely get a guy like Lonzo.
Won a lot of games with the Lakers, too.
A very young Laker team.
That team was soft. I mean, that Laker team was soft. I mean, because that team had more talent than it showed.
Except when Rondo punched Chris Paul in the face.
Chris Rondo is nuts. I mean, Rajon Rondo is nuts. Rajon Rondo is crazy. And supposedly LeBron wants him back. LeBron,
I do too. I love
Rondo. Why not?
No, I mean, LeBron, like, I guess he and LeBron... You know, let me shoot. LeBron got along with who is the cat he was good friends with?
Lance Stevenson. No, JaVale McGee.
No, the tattooed guy who never wore a shirt.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
Oh, J.R.,
The worst 3-point shooting, and, 3-point shooter in NBA history.
I covered them up in the Cavs.
How on earth?
The one that cost him game one of the NBA Finals. That guy.
That still cracks me up.
I mean, how does a guy who continually goes 2-for-13 continue to get paid? I mean, it's just, some things in the NBA stun me. And that would be...
They won a championship.
Shooter, shoot. That's what... You got to...
He's not a shooter. He's a horrible shooter.
But you need a guy with that confidence. If I had a guy that had his shooting confidence, I'd be set. Because there's some guys that hesitate so much on shooting. J.R. Smith doesn't care if he's 0 for 12. Yeah. I'm going to be 0 for 13.
Because he's been there.
Or I'm going to be 1 for 12.
Yeah.
He has been there.
He has that confidence.
Oh, the NBA and the NBA draft coming up tonight. And we are looking to see where these guys go.
Lots of Tennessee guys.
Yeah,
that's what
Darius
I think we're
Garland,
looking forward to.
Grant. Okay, you know what? I want to ask. This is what I wanted to ask you. Okay, how long ago? Like 1 minute?
Real quick. Like 20 seconds.
Okay, we were talking about Zion Williamson. Who's the best? 5 years from now, who was the best player in this draft?
It'd still be Zion. Zion or R.J. Barrett.
Okay.
I'm not going to go with Zion.
Okay, who are you going to go with?
Darius?
She's going to go with Darius Garland. I'm going to go
I
with
can see that too.
I'm going to go with Darius Garland. I think because that's where the league is
going.
That's where the league. Tomorrow we're going to hash out exactly what happened. Kayla and I'll be back in the seat from 10 until 2. Kayla, it's been great. I'll
it's
see you in 15 minutes when we pull over on Murfreesboro Road.
Sounds good.
At work. Marquise, thank you.
Thanks, Marquise.
Hey, anytime. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, anytime
is
tomorrow.
Lonzo.
Okay. Corey Curtis, Kayla Anderson, we've been in for Darren and Donick. Jared Stillman and the GM, Floyd Reese, are coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.